We have Peter Allen on the line there, our legal eagle, and here he has got some interesting talks lined up for there. Good morning to you, Alan, and or Peter, how are you doing, sir?
Thank you, Ivan. Nice to have you for a change. I suppose a break is always good. We wish Wayne well as he takes a little break himself. To all our listeners on the coast and, of course, all over the world that listen to us, morning, great weather this morning. The rain appears to have gone for the week. Not to say that we don't enjoy the rain. Anyway, our subject this morning is the best interests of children, which involves the family advocate. And, of course, we're just going to add adoption into that, which is all part of the situation with children. So if I start, I think it's important to realize that children are not yo-yos. You know, so often you see parents that push a child from one parent to the other parent or to grandparents or that type of thing. You know, if there is a problem with the child and you can't manage it, there's also adoption, which is why we've added adoption to this chat this morning, so that the interests of the child are looked after. A child cannot control what takes place until, of course, he reaches the age of about 16, 18. He no longer falls into the category. And it's important that the children are a priority. Very often you find that children, when they go from place to place, are affected. Mentally, stability is not there, and that type of thing. And those are normally the kids that end up with problems because they just don't know where they are in the world. One day they're here, one day they're there. Parents are fighting. Home is not pleasant. They prefer to be away from home. You know, sometimes money plays a role where they're not properly fed, not properly clothed, not properly looked after, you know, as far as a home is concerned and the like. So we need to start by realizing that the best interest of children is protected in terms of the Constitution. Section 28(2) of the Constitution specifically says a child's best interests are of paramount importance in every matter concerning the child. So they form a part of our Constitution. That's how important children are. When we look at it, we can immediately start by saying, how do we protect the interests of the child? Well, you protect the interests of the child by making sure that, you know, if the home is good, if you can't manage the home, you need to get assistance. If you can't manage the child, which often happens, adoption is an option, not the nicest, because I'm pretty sure that most parents love their children, but just cannot manage them properly in some instances. So, you know, it's one of those that is really a sad situation when not properly taken care of. We have, fortunately these days, and since the Constitution involves children, what we call the family advocate. So maybe if we just move a bit to the family advocate. Who is the family advocate? What does she do? Where is she? When do you approach the family advocate? But you mention a few. So the family advocate, every place, every court has a family advocate in its area. It's a qualified advocate appointed by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, and there to protect the best interests of the children, to promote, to sort disputes that may arise regarding parental responsibilities and rights. So the first question that people often ask me is, but who is the family advocate? Might be a young girl that's never had children, doesn't know what children are. Yeah, it can happen, but highly unlikely. What you invariably find is that it's somebody that's been practicing in that field or gains its knowledge from practicing that field, guided by the senior advocates at the department, or shall I say not department, but at the family advocate office. The family advocate as well has the right to appoint what we call I think they use it as a family counsellor, who is a registered social worker specialising in that field, or a psychological assistant to assist with the expertise necessary in a situation where there's an inquiry and they a family advocate feel that it's maybe too big for them or out of their hands and they need assistance. So the family advocate office is properly set up. If you're not happy with the family advocate that you have a right to approach the senior family advocate and advise what your problems are. And I know that in East London, our family advocate is very, very user-friendly and assist with all complaints. So where I've had complaints in the past with one or two parents who have not been happy, it's been resolved immediately. Very approachable East London family advocate, and I'm sure the same applies all over South Africa.
Good to know that we've got such experienced people out there as well. And I just wanted to quickly say there as well, I think it's a little bit different to the days that we were brought up. I think for the kids as well, schooling has changed, cost of living has gone up. There's always these additional things for the parents as well. So things do get quite stressful out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. I mean, that is exactly why the role of, in my eyes, the role of the family advocate is such a vital role. And the nice thing is that no divorce today can go ahead without a report from the family advocate. So the minute you're going to entertain a divorce as an attorney, you've got to refer the matter to the family advocate. And the report of the family advocate is what the court will use as a guideline. It will not let you just say, okay, the child is happy, the child's going to stay there. And the last thing as well is that you make an agreement regarding all aspects, you know, visitation and all the like. It obviously doesn't include maintenance.
Those are usually the things that do cause it. So if they're all sorted out right before, it makes things a lot more comfortable for the children.
That's the nice thing about the divorce these days, which is no longer a right and a wrong. You don't have to find a right and a wrong. I mustn't say it's nice, because in the old days you had to have a right and a wrong. It was a little bit harder to get divorced. You used to come for your first sitting, and then it used to be postponed for 6 months, which was chaos in some instances. But anyway, you know, what you've got these days is that all aspects have got to be sorted. So you can't come into a divorce without sorting out the assets, the children, the financial situation. You know, when we talk about assets, we talk about movable and immovable. And, you know, so it determines everything, and there must be a proper settlement agreement in place. Going back to the family advocate, you know, they do draft parental responsibilities and rights. It's an agreement. It's signed by both parties. If you don't like it, I'm not going to say you get a stubborn family advocate, but you get a family advocate who has assessed it and says, this is what the position is going to be. You're not going to change me. And a lot of people don't realize what the family advocate does, because the family advocate will come along and call you in. Hello, who are you? Find out, you know, where you stay, what you do, who your friends are, where your parents are, where the in-laws are. You know, they'll gather info, and then they go ahead and they check on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they look, I'm sure Facebook or social media plays a role there, that they're able to put you into the situation and say, this is who they're friendly with, this is where they hang out.
Makes life so much easier.
Yeah, it does. You know, they don't follow you or anything, but they will make sure that the info on you is good. They will also call both parents in. The starting point is to get both parents in and to see whether there's an agreement there. I always like it when parents come in and say, look, our marriage is not working. We're definitely splitting. These are the children. This is what we're going to do with them. Especially these days, you get situations where the parents share custody on a 4-3 basis. One parent has it for 4 days in the week, the other 3 days. A lot of people say, oh, that, you know, is not nice for the child. But it is, because the child continues. Children love both mothers and fathers. Yes, there's no doubt about it. And it's so nice when you see people who come along. I mean, I've got some clients who've made 7-day arrangements where the child goes from a Friday to a Monday the next week if one parent, and then swaps over, and on the Friday the other parent picks the child up at school and goes. And, you know, these days with a cell phone, little kids, I mean, 3-4-year-olds know how to work a cell phone. So you have a situation where I'm going to phone the child every night at 5 or something like that.
Yes.
which is wonderful. That gives me a lot of joy when I see that, because, you know, it's a terrible statement to make, but I'm not interested in the parents who are fighting on their own ways. But to see little children that are happy makes me happy. More important than anything.
I think that's what it's all about there too as well. And it can be a very sad process, but what you've just explained to us does make it sound a lot easier on the kid. Then they can almost live a normal life still, no problem.
That's it. And, you know, in the old days, there used to be this feeling about that a child, until it reached age 5 or went to school, couldn't go to the other parent. I mean, you know, absolute nonsense. Yeah. Children form a relationship with their parents from birth. You know, they may not understand it 6 months to 3 years, but they know who that mom is. They know who that dad is. They become attached to that parent. So the nice thing is really that it's no longer a case of punishing the male who's left. Well, I must say punishing. These days, the male or the female can get custody. It's no longer. In the old days, the woman got custody.
Yeah, they had the priority, you know, I think, yeah.
That's it. We, you know, there were blinkers on anybody awarding children, and the judges themselves were guided by the fact that it was the right thing to do to keep a child with its mother. You know, it's more so if it was a female that, you know, the child would grow up, would have its own medical history going ahead, and the mother was more able to assist in that regard. Not so anymore. I mean, fathers have come a long, long way. Fathers show big interest. In fact, I would probably be able to say that in a lot of marriages, the father is the dominant person with the child, in the sense that, you know, mothers have breakdowns and that type of thing after birth, and the father step in there. But don't kid me. I mustn't kid myself and say mothers are not capable. Mothers are very, very capable. So, you know, the family advocate as well will have a look at both parents, see how they're going, see how the grandparents are, see the home where the kids are living, see where the person that's leaving the home is going to live. I had one the other day where the parent, not mentioned which one, lived in a bachelor flat. It only had a shower. It only had the flat, was a one-room flat with the kitchen, the shower, the bathroom, you know, obviously a closed door for the bathroom. But, you know, the kitchen was open plan with the bed in the lounge, with the dining, dining suite, place, everything was all in one room.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the mother wasn't satisfied and said, you know, I don't think it's right that the child should be in a room where everything happens. I feel the child needs to have a bath, too young to shower.
Yes.
And I feel the child should have its own separate bed, which there wasn't place for. And I'm happy to say that the father accepted that, and the attorney on the other side, and he moved into a one-bedroom flat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the important things of a child. Necessities to make sure that the home of the child is well sorted and capable of housing the child as well. So the family advocate will look at all of that as well. You know, the best interest of the child will definitely be seriously considered in that regard. So yeah, the family advocate is there as an aid, very, very important. And then just to mention, and I mentioned adoption. Yes, adoption is a process whereby these days it's over 18. It used to be over 21. Applies to court to become the child's parent. You've got a lot of people that adopt children, a lot of people that have to go through the process to be able to adopt. You know, you can't just come tomorrow and say, okay, I'm going to go to the hospital. When there's a child there that's not wanted, I'm going to take the child home.
Yeah,
not as easy. Doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The Children's Act is very, very strict in that regard. You've got to put your name down. You've got to be passed. The parents have to give consent. You can't just adopt a child because the family advocate or the doctor or somebody believes that the child is not being looked after well enough. So each of the parents must give authority. You know, they also have a thing these days where a child must be, if a child is 10 years or older, that their child must give consent to say, I'm happy to go. If a child is younger than 10, obviously they don't require that consent of the child itself. The agreement is reduced to writing. Sometimes you get it where parents sign away their rights that the child will not be entitled to know who the parents are or where they were because circumstances. You know, you find that shame with a mother who's perhaps died at a young age and the father can't handle the child. You find it with people who have addictions, alcoholics, druggies, and the like. They cannot manage their children. The children are taken away. They need to be posted, and well, not, I mustn't use posted, a terrible word, but they need to be placed in a home. Mm.
But it's all very soothing to know that this whole thing is in place there, and I'm sure a lot of the or a lot of us, I don't only say parents, were not really even too afraid and familiar with this, but it's actually quite comforting to know that they go into this in depth and everything is all checked out before. So definitely a plus for the kids there.
Absolutely. You know, there's a proper screening, proper approval. The child is matched as well. You know, the child is matched with the parents. So you don't send a child to a home where it's not going to be loved, where it's got a different... So you can't send somebody maybe that speaks Afrikaans into a Khoisa or an English home.
Yes.
You know, they will make sure that the child is capable of adopting to that. They will also have a look at the home where the child is going to make sure that the child is going to be comfortable there. You know, the child adopts your surname. So, you know, some parents adopt kids and don't tell them that they're adopted till a very much later age. But it's all those type of rights and that the child is entitled to. The contract for adoption, if you're thinking about doing that, a listener out there, best that you go to the Department of Social Affairs and have a check with them whether you can put your name down. Actually, social development. They'll introduce you to a social worker who will take full details of you. He'll screen you. They'll then see if there's a child available for you. Also, one must remember that it's not a case of, it's not like a shop. You walk into the shop, buy the child and walk out.
Yeah,
it's a little exercise that's going to take quite a while.
And quite clearly, you know, there will be a lot of follow-ups afterwards as well, too. So they are pretty strict on that.
Yeah. You know, they'll introduce you to the parents if they're around. They'll introduce you to the way of life that the child is used to and that type of thing. In fact, as far as I know, it takes not less than a year for adoption to take place.
Wow.
You know, they go through the process correct, send the child home with you for a weekend and things like that, make sure the child is happy and that type of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure that they want the child, or they want to be sure that the child is going to be settled in. It's not a case of going back later and saying, sorry, can we try another one? This one's not going to work. I mean, it is children that we're talking about there. Peter, in closing there as well, we're coming up to the 8 o'clock news there as well. Maybe just some final words and contact details there, please, man. But all very, very interesting. And I'm sure that the public is now one step better.
Yeah. Let me just finish by saying exactly what I said in opening. A child is not a yo-yo. Please make sure that you look after the interests of the child. And the best interests of the child are printed in our constitution. So, you know, a child's best interests are paramount importance in every matter concerning the child. Remember that. Yeah, Ivan, that's it. I know we're getting late. So just a final one there. If people want to get hold of us, they can like us on Facebook. Add a S to our surname. So it's Allams, A-L-L-A-M-S. And we're to be found at 6 Sansom Road. Vincent, telephone number 043-7211-018.
Lovely stuff there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Peter. And